Well, Father, I thank you and I praise you for all who came out here this morning to sit in your presence and to hear your word. I know, Father God, that you have orchestrated this entire service, and you began with such jubilant praise and worship. And Father God, you're going to carry them out through the message. And I wanted to go deep into our hearts this morning, Father, down into our innermost part of our beings, and let our spirit men come alive today, Father. Let us carry this joy out into a lost and dying world. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get into the message, we have to understand we are going to, at some point, go into World War III. God told me that quite a few years ago, over 20 years ago, we would, and it would be with Russia, and I think China, I'm not sure, I forgot what the other country is. So, you know, we're not going to get excited about it. God's already forewarned us it's going to happen, and what we're going to do is just learn to praise him in all things. And just do what he's telling us forth to do, right? This morning, God wants to talk to us about intertwine or knit together. In Psalm 139:13, David talking to God, he says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them." So David said, before I ever existed, you wrote in my book what was going to happen to me. All right. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. This is Paul talking to the saints. Paul says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ." Then Colossians 2:2 through 4 says, "I want you woven into a tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know of God. Then you will have minds confident and at rest, focused on Christ, God's great mystery. All the richest treasures of wisdom and knowledge are embedded in that mystery and nowhere else. And we've been shown the mystery. I'm telling this because I don't want anyone leading you off in some wild goose chase after other so-called mysteries or the secret." Verse 2 through 4 says, "I want you woven into a tapestry of love." And I've noticed the last couple of days, you know, when I look at clothes in my email or on the internet, whatever you call it, all the clothes have love written on them. Have you all noticed that? You know, God's really advertising his love. And as I came in here and I decorated for Valentine's Day, I thought, God, you're talking about your love before the love day ever arrives. So God's mandate to us right now is to get into that love walk deeper than we ever have and stay there. All right, this is what God says. "My people who are called by my name, you must understand this day that I wonderfully formed you and then knitted you together with me and the Godhead. I took all of heaven and wrapped you into it and weaved a wonderful tapestry of myself within your very being." This is God speaking. Let's hear that again. "My people who are called by my name, you must understand this day that I wonderfully formed you and then knitted you together with me and the Godhead. I took all of heaven and wrapped you into it and weaved a wonderful tapestry of myself within your very being." God said, you are so wonderfully formed. Every part of you has a distinct part of the Godhead. I think this is awesome. "You are so wonderfully formed. Every part of you has a distinct part of the Godhead. You are like a sweet-smelling essence under my nostrils. And you are the light of the world because of this tapestry I weaved within you." Isn't this awesome? "Children of Zion, as you go forth breathing my breath of existence, you will breathe the very life of heaven into the nostrils of all that you meet." Why? Because you're woven into him. Isn't that what he just told us? And the scripture to back that up is Job 33:4. God said, "Transformation time is upon all of my children, and I am calling you to come forth as a beautiful tapestry of heaven." Transformation time is upon all of my children, and I am calling you to come forth as a beautiful tapestry of heaven. And the scripture for that is 2 Corinthians 3:18. Then God said, within this tapestry is the very songs of heaven. Heavenly worship shall ooze out of your mortal beings, and great will be the salvations all across the land. God said, even when you engage in mortal combat, this tapestry will bring forth the melodious tones of victory. Even when you engage in mortal combat, this tapestry will bring forth the melodious tones of victory. You see, music was and is a heavenly product. As you serve me with all your hearts, that sweet melody will ooze out of your innermost being, and you shall sing sweet praises unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God said, this generation is waiting for the sweet melodious sound that will bring them into complete salvation, and there will always be a time of great rejoicing in the camps of my beloved ones. Who's waiting? This generation that we're in right now. God said, who made the instruments of worship? Were they not formulated in the heavens? Then use them to glorify me. Use a tambourine and dance with all your might. Let this be a weapon of warfare that you master, and watch the enemy flee. There is much power in the tambourine, much power in all the musical instruments that I created. Hold this to your heart and never let go. Know that music is what causes all of hell to tremble. Now we're going to stop there. We're going to be using our tambourines now. So guys, bring your tambourines. All right. What? Let's read that again. Who made the instruments of worship? Were they not formulated in the heavens? Then use them to glorify me. Use a tambourine and dance with all your might. Let this be a weapon of warfare. See, it's a weapon that you master. And watch the enemy flee. There is much power in the tambourine, much power in all the musical instruments that I created. Hold this to your hearts and never let go. Know that music is what causes all of hell to tremble. God said, hell does not want you to worship from the depth of your innermost being. And I see that in here. Hell does not want you to worship from the depth of your innermost being, for hell trembles with the knowledge that you are using the greatest weapon of warfare when you learn to truly praise me. Are you listening here? Truly praise me. God says, seek heavenly worship and watch the mountains come tumbling down. God said, we are intertwined together and there is no one that can separate us. This intertwinement is so intricate that there is no one that can figure out how to separate you from me. We will go from everlasting to everlasting simply because we are intertwined together. The scripture there is Psalm 90, 1 and 2. Isn't this awesome? I mean, absolutely. Anybody else want to shout? Yeah, absolutely. Come on. That's great. We are intertwined. Let's read that again. We are intertwined and there is no one that can separate us. This intertwinement is so intricate that there is no one that can figure out how to separate you from me. We will go from everlasting to everlasting simply because we are intertwined together. God said, the enemy knows this and he trembles. Even though he comes in like a flood to steal you away from me, he cannot ever separate you from me. Yes, you go off the path I have set your feet upon, but you are still intertwined with me. And that's Romans 8:39. God said, even though the floods come, they cannot take you under. Even though the enemy opens the floodgates of hell and tries to pull you in, he cannot. You see, when you receive me as Lord and Savior, you are cemented into me, and all of heaven is at your disposal. Oh, it might look like the enemy has won, but the battle is not over. Remember always, the battle is not over until it's over. All right? You keep your eyes on the prize, and you allow me to fight your battles for you as you go forth undaunted by the cares of this world and bring forth revival all across this land. So the scripture for that is Philippians 3:14. God said, you keep your eyes on the prize and you allow me to fight your battles for you as you go forth undaunted by the cares of this world and bring forth revival all across the land. It is revival time, saints, and God is calling us, giving us a mandate. We have to go forth and bring this revival into existence. All right? I just said in awe at the fact that the body of Christ cannot praise their Father from the very depths of their being. That they just sort of sit there and just, you know, mumble through songs and won't dance for nothing. I've asked God where his dynamite's at, because I want him to set our feet on fire, right? God said, knitted together should be your victory cry every time the enemy comes in to steal, kill, and destroy, and that's John 10:10. So anytime the enemy comes at you to come against you, just say, I'm knitted together with God, and you can't separate me from him. So just go on your way. I'm knitted together. Remember that phrase, I'm knitted together. God said, I'm knitted together. Come on. You know, really true, this is a word from God that should really just excite you so much that there's no way you'd ever look into the world again. That you would just constantly look into the eyes of God, because, you know, who else would talk so sweetly to you as he is this morning? God said, you should remind the enemy daily that you are engrafted into the vine, and you will always come forth with true life oozing out of your innermost being. And the vine is in John 15:1-8. You should remind the enemy daily that you are engrafted into the vine, and you will always come forth with true life oozing out of your innermost being. You know, somebody called me the other day and said, God told me that I would never go back into drinking again, and I'm back into drinking again. Why did he tell me I wouldn't? And I told him, I said, you know, when God delivers you at that point, and he said, you'll never go back into it again, the next time somebody puts a drink in your hand, say, nope, I'm delivered from that, and I'm not going to take that drink. It's just as simple as all that. When I was first born again, I was dying of cancer in my intestines, and I went to a prayer meeting. They told me I had a couple weeks left to live. I went to a prayer meeting. I said, if you lay your hands on me, I know that God's going to heal me. And so God did heal me that night. All the pain left me, and I went to bed pain-free. But when I got awake, I couldn't get out of bed because the pain was there. So I rolled out of bed, crawled on my hands and knees, and said, I was healed last night at 8 o'clock. Devil, and I'm still healed today. And I kept saying that as I crawled my hands and knees in the bathroom. By the time I got to the bathroom, I stood up and I was pain-free and I was healed. Now, see, God told me night before I was healed, and I didn't feel any pain or anything. But the next day, the devil was there to give it back to me. Now, I could have taken it. I could have said, well, I guess it just didn't work. Just like this person said, well, how come I'm still drinking? It's because you took the drink. You took the drink. Why do I still look at pornography? Because you look at pornography. God said, you're free from it. You say, devil, no, I'm engrafted in the divine, and nothing but life oozes out of me, this according to God here, and I don't look at pornography anymore, you know, or smoking, or whatever it is, whatever, or just say gluttony. Gluttony is a sin too. Whatever it is, bitterness, hate, whatever. Are you getting this? You have to say, uh-uh, devil, I'm not going to accept this anymore because God set me free. God said, you are like sweet honey dripping upon this land simply because we are knit together. You are like sweet honey dripping upon this land simply because we are knit together. Who can separate you from the love of God? Good question. This is God speaking. My word tells you that absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of the Father. You find that in Romans 8:8. God said, be a true fellow soldier and go forth engrafted into the vine, intricately woven together with your heavenly Father, and conquer in all signs. Be a true fellow soldier and go forth engrafted into the vine, intricately woven together with your heavenly Father, and conquer in all signs. 2 Timothy 2:3. God said, refreshed, that is what you are. Refreshed, that is what you are. Continually refreshed by the Father because of the heavenly infusion that took place. That took place. It's already happened in your life. You're already intricately woven with God in the heavenly places. And God said, fear no evil. You'll find that in Psalm 23, 1 through 6, and God said, walk upright in all your ways, and Proverbs 14, 2 tells you that. God said, allow no temptation to draw you from the Father's presence, and 2 Corinthians 10, 13 backs that up. And God said, seek the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and Psalms 27, 13 backs that up. And really, that's a good thing to search and to study about. Seek the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You'll find a lot of good stuff whenever you search that out. God said, take divine authority with you. Hear what he says here. Take divine authority with you wherever you go, simply because you're intertwined with all of heaven. In other words, I don't care where you go and what you come in contact with. You have the divine order of heaven working with you simply because you're intertwined with all of heaven. So you have all authority and all power because you are entwined with heaven. You don't have to give in to the devil and his wiles. You do not. Now, God said, first and foremost, always remember that we are forever, forever connected, and no one can disconnect what I have knit together. As he talked about this knitting and weaving, I see people sitting down knitting things together, and how the looms weave things together. And when you make a blanket on one of those looms, it's woven together, and it's meant to stay that way. This is what God has done to you and I. He weaved us into his tapestry. He made us part of heaven and put part of heaven in us. And he expects us to go undaunted, he said, this is what he said, into the world, not with a mixture, but in pure holiness with God, forever serving God and telling the enemy where to go. Are you listening here? God said, every force of hell knows this truth. Well, let's go back there. First and foremost, always remember that we are forever connected and no one can disconnect what I have knit together. Every force of hell knows this truth, and they are trembling as we speak, for they do not want you to understand the concept of intertwined, knit together with all of heaven. That hell does not want you to know the truth here. You belong to God and no one else but God. You should not be going the way of Baal ever. You should be constantly in the will of the Father, always being obedient to everything he's calling you forth to do. You know, when God says your finances aren't, when the devil says you don't have no finances, say, oh yes, I do. I'm intertwined with heaven, and heaven has all monies. God owns the cows and a thousand hills or something like that. And now that goes. He has everything you have need of. It's already in you. It's already planted in you. You have to just claim it. Claim your authority in Christ Jesus. If your father was a king or if he was a president of the United States, you would draw on that money, right? It's there for you freely to receive. Then live like a king, a child of the king. Live like God is your father. Quit walking around as a pauper, because you're not. God said, fellow citizens of heaven, you're fellow citizens of heaven. He's talking to y'all, right? Pick up your tambourine and rejoice with me this night. Dance with all your might like David and the Israelites did. Dance, children. Dance with all your might and destroy the throes of darkness that try to bind up your feet so you do not find liberty in the dance. Let's read that again, because we're going to use our tambourines here in a minute, and we're going to play a song and we're going to sing and dance, all right? So God said, fellow citizens of heaven, are you a fellow citizen of heaven?
Yes.
Pick up your tambourine and rejoice with me this night. Dance with all your might like David and the Israelites did. Dance, children, dance with all your might and destroy the throes of darkness. Destroy the throes of darkness that try to bind up your feet. Why? So you do not find liberty in the dance. And that's Exodus 15:20. And in Exodus 15:20, it says, the prophet Miriam, Aaron's sister, took her tambourine, and all the women followed her, playing tambourines and dancing. In Psalm 150, it says, let everything praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, they say, you have to be quiet in church. You must sing little sweet, you know, by and by songs. And you mustn't play drums or you mustn't play the guitar. Well, that isn't what the Word of God just told us here, is it? Why do you think there's rock and roll music? Because the devil knows what heaven's all about. And he knows what kind of music's in heaven. He took it and he distorted it. Same music, just bad words. Bad clothes. Bad action. But we need to take that music back from the devil. And we need to start using that music that God created. And we need to start just setting ourselves free. Trample over the devil's head and go forth rejoicing. You know, when you go through the door, you just, hallelujah, praise God, and be dancing. You know, they used to do that, but then the devil came and stole all that too. Come on. The devil can't make you do anything. The devil can't make you do anything. He can tempt you. He can provoke you or try to convince you, but he can't make you do anything. You do it. You do it all by yourself. But you don't have to do what the devil says. I want to get that through your head. The devil can't make you do anything. God doesn't make you do anything either. He can tempt you. See, that's where your problem is. You fall into the temptation. He can provoke you. And those people around about you have a spirit of anger. He provokes that anger to come forth. Or try to convince you. He can provoke you or try to convince you. You know, try to convince you. But you can just do like Jesus did. Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. Get thee behind me, Satan, it is written. Instead of giving in to what he's trying to get you to do. But he can't make you do anything. You do it yourself. But you don't have to do what the devil says. You don't have to yield to your rage, your jealousy, your depression, or whatever it is. A Bible verse on this subject is what Isaiah said. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And that's Isaiah 59:19. You don't have to yield to your rage, your jealousy, your depression, or whatever it is. A Bible verse on the subject is what Isaiah said in Isaiah 59:19. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And his standard is that you are intertwined, you are knit together with God in heaven. That's all you need to tell him. All right, dumbbell, get out. I'm a part of heaven. I'm so intricately woven with heaven that there's no way you can separate me from God. No way. Absolutely no way. Now, unless you get that down into your spirit and start believing it, the devil's going to walk over you continually. Unless you start allowing God to use you, to walk over the enemy's head, the enemy's going to walk over your head. The Word of God tells me that he's under our feet. He's not the head, he's the tail. But the body of Christ has been making the enemy the head and God the tail. And God is upset with that, and he's saying it is time that that's dismantled and turn around. Put the enemy under our feet. Make God our Godhead. And understand that we are woven in a tapestry with heaven, and all hell is upset about that, and there's no way hell can have you unless you give yourself to him freely. Come on. Before we can pick up a tambourine and dance and sing, you have to get that engrafted into your spirit. I hope you get a copy of this tape. They're free. And listen to what he said to you over again, because I thought it was a beautiful, like a love letter to you. You know, and I hope it sinks deep into your spirit and you will never let it go. The enemy has been trying to destroy the body of Christ for a long time now. And we are part of the body of Christ, and we have allowed him to do that. Now, when I say we, you know, if you didn't, that's fine. But I'm saying the body of Christ as a whole has allowed evil to creep into the houses of God. and to destroy the people. Started at the head and went right on down. Now, if the head's right, I'm not saying the people will be right, but the head will teach you right. And it's up to you. God told me one time, all you have to do is give the word. It's up to them what they do with the word. He said, you make sure you live the word before them. So are you living the word before them? I'm going to tell you, some of you sitting in here, you've been teaching. And when you, the word of God says, when you stand before God, you will be judged more harshly than anybody else. A teacher will be judged more harshly because you're supposed to be living what you're teaching and you're not. The majority of the body of Christ does not live what they teach. They're one thing in the church, another thing, they're another thing behind closed doors in their home where they think nobody can see, but God sees all things. Remember when I was fasting, the 40th day, I grabbed a cashew, ran up the steps, and God said, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going to eat this cashew. I don't want them to see me. He said, I see you. And I know you're eating that, going to eat that cashew, and you just lost your blessing. 40 days, and a 40th day to eat a stupid nut, lost everything. And it, but some of you do your stupid things too. You fast, and on the last day, you give in. I mean, that dish of cashew was sitting there, it's just called my name. And I kept ignoring it, and finally I grabbed it and ran up the steps. And isn't that how it happens? You ignore it, and you ignore it, and you ignore it. See, that was just the deepest sin if I went out and had committed adultery. It was. So I'm telling you guys, quit your judging. You know, whenever you find yourself getting angry with somebody else that gets in sin and stays there, you'll find out you stepped over the line with God and you're feeling his heart and he's saying enough is enough. I've been awful angry lately. I'm angry with the body of Christ because they are not living what they're preaching or they're not living what they're confessing, and God is upset with that. So where are you at this morning? Do you believe that you're woven, what was it, intertwined and knit together with heaven in a tapestry? Or do you believe you're just somebody just wandering around, doing your thing and saying, Jesus loved you, this I know. You know, what are you doing with your life? Are you an example for all those that you come in contact with? And I'm seeing one thing right now. Those who have high callings upon their life, the enemy is coming at you like a flood, and he's trying to take you off course. Don't allow him to do that. Fight with everything you have. Fight. God has given us so many weapons of warfare to use. Right now we found out that the tambourine is one of them. Fight with every weapon that God has given you in his arsenal, and do not give in to anything that the enemy tries to bring your way. Anger is the top thing right now. I've never seen so many angry people in all my life. If one person has anger in your home, that anger can consume everybody in your home. And you really have to keep yourself covered with the blood so you don't give in to that anger in retaliation. It's just really bad, saints, and we need to stop it. And we need to understand that I don't care who around you is angry, because I have the same situation. Everybody in the house is angry, and you know, and the kids are angry, and you try to fight it, and you know, it's a terrible fight when you have about 10 people, 10 to 1, and all this anger and rage is in the house. And I just talked to God about last night. I said, I don't like this. I don't live this way. I need to get out from underneath this anger and this rage. Amen. So I took it to God and told the devil, I'm intertwined and knit with the Father in heaven. You can't touch me with this, but you're not going to use it in my household either. See what I'm saying here? I had to take a stand for righteousness against the devil. And I'm going to stand and I'm going to see that thing conquered and out of my home. Where are you at? If you're really believing that you're intertwined and knit together with heavenly place, with heaven, in a beautiful tapestry, and that no one can separate you from God, then we're ready to dance. So are you ready to dance? You will shout down the enemy with your tambourine. And as I was sitting there, God said, some of you need to take your tambourine and march through your homes and make the enemy leave your homes. Now, whatever you received right now, just let it go deep into your spirit, because you're going to carry that with you now. That anointing to destroy the yoke, wherever it may be. Some of you got a powerful touch, didn't you, doing that? A simple little tambourine brings God into the scene, and the enemy's defeated. He said that when he told us that was a weapon, right? Simple little tambourine. When your landlord's not home, take your tambourine and march around your property. Amen. Set your property free. Get him saved. You see what I'm saying? All right, so your kids are acting up. Get the tambourine and start marching around through the house playing your tambourine. Tear down the enemy's walls. Car won't start. Say, all right, devil, I'm going to sing a song and march around my car. I'm going to use my tambourine. I'm serious. God is very serious about this weapon. I'm hearing him say right now, he's going to use all of his musical instruments in his houses. And we're just going to have to get used to it. He's going to tear down your religious spirits with the music and the instruments. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to walk over this next threshold. Full of joy and splendor and peace. With everything God has for me. Each one of you should say the same thing. I want everything you have for me, Father. I don't care about anybody else. They're going to get around. But I want whatever you have for me. And then don't allow the enemy to take anything from you. Don't allow him to steal, kill, and destroy any longer. Are you listening here? If you don't have a tambourine, you that have addictions, I would buy one. They're not that expensive. And I would, every time the devil wanted me to fall into that addiction again, I'd get that tambourine and deafen him with it. I'd beat that thing so hard and rattle it so hard that he'd have to go just so he could still survive. Amen. I want each one of you people in here, I don't care how young, how old you are, I want you to understand that this was a fabulous thing that God did here in this sanctuary today. He really has totally and completely set you free with this new revelation. Now, if you'll just take a hold of it and use it, you won't be running away from the devil anymore. He'll be running away from you. If you have a sickness in your body, take that tambourine and just tell the devil what he's not going to do to your body. It's time, I'm hearing God's time, we start rejoicing in him instead of always complaining and walking around like we don't have a Savior. It's rejoicing time in the body of Christ. He's been trying to get us to do that for quite a while now. Will you finally enter in and rejoice with him tonight? We just rejoice. I don't care what's going on around you. Just rejoice. Just rejoice. Come on. You know, I know there's a lot of trouble in marriages, but you know what? When do you have to start rejoicing? When do you have to do something to change the situation? And you know what God told me? That if you take that first step and you start rejoicing, if the mate won't come along, he'll remove him. I don't care if he or she, he will remove them because he's not going to have you hindered in your walk with God. So you see, you have absolutely nothing to lose, but you have everything to gain. If you take this tambourine, this weapon that God has given you today, and you use it the way you're supposed to, you will tear down every kingdom of darkness that there is that comes your way. People are tired of the mundane things, and God wants the churches to be happy and full of splendor and full of his riches. God gave us the word this morning, and then he did what he did. So God's in the picture altogether. And if you're sitting listening to God's voice and getting a message together from God, then everything's gone. Everything's God controlled. It's in His total and complete will. You know, when he said, I said, what are you going to teach Sunday? He said, knit together. I said, oh, well, that's neat. Let's see what you're going to do with that. Oh, I think he did a wonderful thing with it, right? So that's just how you do. You just sit down and say, God, what is it you want to talk about today? And what he's going to talk about tonight is awesome too. But it's, and I notice if I don't get a word from God and I try to do it on my own, there's no anointing. You know, if I sort of say, God, I'm getting near the end of the line here. I have to get a word, or I'm going to go in there with nothing. And then if I try to get something myself, there's no anointing, because he wants to give the word now. God wants to give us heavenly infusion. It is his word that he once taught. Man has taught their word long enough. So wherever you go, whatever you do, always make sure that it's totally God. If you'll notice that with Adam's blowing of the shofar, I told him, I said, sit down and ask God what he wants to blow. And that's the way we did it. And so we started praying. And you see the anointing on the shofar? Because he's blowing exactly what God wants blown. Not just blowing it, but what God says to do. And whenever you do that, what happens is that God is in control of all things and people are set free. All right. Father, I thank you and I praise you for this morning. All right, here's what God's telling me. If you want to march to a different drumbeat, God's drumbeat, if you come up to the altar, God is going to anoint you to hear different sounds. You're going to start hearing heavenly sounds, and you will be marching to his drumbeat, and the drumbeat of the world will be totally taken away from you. So right now, he's opening up the altar if you want to march to his drumbeat.